Okay, let's get into Yehoshua Perek Yud. Yehoshua Perek Yud, very special Perek in that it is the first time in Tanakh that we have the city of Yerushalayim mentioned. Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Torah anywhere. It's mentioned in Yehoshua Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph, right here. What happens in this Perek? Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, hears what has happened already. He's read the first 9 prakim of Sefer Yehoshua. He's seen that Am Yisrael crossed the Yarden and they defeated Yericho in miraculous fashion, and they defeated Ai in semi-natural fashion. And he heard last parak about the Givonim, this major power in the Canaanite land that went to make peace with Am Yisrael. And they get very annoyed about that. So this parak is about how the king of Yerushalayim, Adoni Tzedek Yerushalayim, gathers all of the other kings in his neighborhood, in the midsection of what we would call Israel today, the king of Hebron and the king of Lachish and Eglon and Yarmut, a bunch of kings, and they get together and they said, let's go attack Givon, the Givonim. They're not attacking Am Yisrael. They're going to attack the Givonim, who just made a treaty with Am Yisrael. And they start going to attack. The Givonim send the message to Yehoshua, Yehoshua, we just made a treaty with you. You got to help us out. You have to save us. So Yehoshua doesn't know what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't fear, go fight, and you're going to win. Chazal explained, and Bali Musar explained, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it in this way? These 5 kings, why didn't just Yehoshua go and attack them? Because if you think about it, in the past couple of battles, except for, including Ai, the entire enemy was wiped out. There was nothing left for Am Yisrael to take. Yericho, Ai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a way where Am Yisrael could defeat the enemy, and yet reap the benefits and the spoils of the defeated enemy. So you have to get him out of the city somehow. So what does he do? He gets all the men, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, behind the scenes, gets all the armies to leave their own cities and go and attack another city, go and attack Givon. And in that way, he lures them out. And we read in this parak that Bnei Yisrael defeat these 5 armies that are attacking Givon, and Yehoshua miraculously, this is not Bederech HaTeva, this is another one of the famous moments in Jewish history, Yehoshua stops the sun and the moon. Shemesh beGivon Dom v'yareach be'emek Ayalon. We'll see the context of that pasuk. Yehoshua stops these, asks, commands the sun and the moon to stop, and they do, and they finish the battle on that day, and the pasuk says there was nothing ever like this in the history of the world. We'll have to see what that means. Moshe Rabbeinu did it too. So we'll see. And what happens in the second half of the parak? We have the story of Yehoshua. Even though some of the nations ran away, some of those 5 nations, he ran after them with the rest of Am Yisrael and defeated them. The 5 kings of those nations all run into a cave. Yehoshua ben Nun, still chasing the other people of the nations, tells Am Yisrael, just put a big rock on the top of the cave, we'll deal with these people later. And he goes and defeats all the other enemies, comes back afterwards, defeats the kings, has an unusual request. We'll have to see what the message of this is. He tells the armies of Am Yisrael to stand on the necks of these 5 kings before he executes them. And we'll have to see what the message is. And we have the rest of the parak, which just deals with the conquest of this midsection of Eretz Yisrael. As we'll see in the next coming couple of prakim, it'll be the conquests, and we'll have to see what is there to mention from the prakim. Okay, so that's this parak. Okay, it's the beginning, really, of the major Kibush Haaretz. We've had a little bit already. We've had Yericho, we've had Ai, we've had 2 cities. But now, the major crux of Sefer Yehoshua, what is Yehoshua famous for? For a lot of things, but major is conquering of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Canaan, the 31 kings. And this is the beginning of it. This is the beginning of it in a big way. So the parak starts off. Vayhi kishmoa Adoni Bezek Melech Yerushalayim. When Adoni Bezek, Adoni Tzedek, Melech Yerushalayim, when Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, hears what Yeshua did to Ai and to Yericho and to the Givonim, so he gets very upset. Interesting, what is the king's name in Yerushalayim? Adoni Tzedek, Melech Yerushalayim. That sounds very similar to the king that we meet in Sefer Bereishis, who is the king of Shalem, right? That's the closest we get to the word Yerushalayim in the Torah. Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, who goes out to Avram Avinu after the 4 kings of the 5 kings. Also, same last name. Malki Tzedek, Adoni Tzedek, says the Rashbam, a very important Rashbam. The Rashbam, we know part of the Rashbam, but the Rashbam says it also here. We know there were certain names of leaders in ancient countries that the name was really the name of the position. For example, says the Rashbam, this is the Rashbam in Miketz. The Rashbam says Paro. How could there be Paro all throughout history? Because Paro was like the name president. Right? It wasn't a specific person. The first Paro, the fourth Paro, they're all called the pharaohs. That's Paro. That was the name of the position in Egypt. Or in Grar, Avimelech. There's an earlier Avimelech, a later Avimelech. They're all Avimelech. How are they all Avimelech? Because that's the name of the position. Paru is the name of the position. Avimelech is the name of the position. Why does he say this in Miketz? Because the Sar HaMashkim is talking to Paru and he says, Paru got angry. Who are you calling by their first name? The Sar HaMashkim is calling it Paru? So he says, no. It's as if he's saying, Mr. President. Right? He's calling him by the position. So he says, Paru katzav al avadav. Call Paru b'lashem Mitzrayim melech. V'chein kol machim Mitzrayim nikraim. V'shal plishtim Avimelech. There was an Avimelech in the time of David also. Right, we read about it in Tehillim. Can't be the same one. That's the name of the position. And Yerushalayim, they always had the last name Tzedek in them. Malki Tzedek in the time of Abraham. Right here, Adoni Tzedek. Why? Because Yerushalayim is the city of righteousness. And therefore, there's always a Tzedek, even though this king is wicked. But the name, the position, even going back to ancient times, has the name Tzedek in it. He, by the way, the Rashbam adds on one or two more. He says the leader of Amalek is always Agag. Agag. In the time of Moshe, the Yarom me Agag Malko. And the time of Shaul, Agag Melech Amalek. Right, Agag. So we find this is the uniqueness of Yerushalayim. It always is the city of Tzedek. And it is mentioned here. We know the Medrash tells us, relating to Yerushalayim, I just alluded to it before, that the source of the name comes from that pasuk in the Torah. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a problem, the Medrash says, in Bereishis Rabbah Perek Nun Vav. Hashem had a problem. Avram Avinu, after the Akedah, calls the place where the Akedah took place, calls Har Moriah, Hashem Yireh. Hashem shall see. And Malki Tzedek, who is Shem, according to Chazal, is the Melech of Shalem. That's what he called Yerushalayim. So is it Hashem Yireh? Is it Shalem? Hashem says, what am I supposed to do? If I call it Hashem Yireh, Shem's going to get upset. If I call it Shalem, Avram's going to get upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to combine the two. Yerushalayim. Yireh and Shalem. That's where the name of Yerushalayim comes from, says the Medrash in this week's Parsha's Vayera. Al Pi Musar, many point out that name itself has within it a lot of power. Yireh, Hashem Yireh, is Hashem will see down, and that's symbolizing the Ben Adam Lamakom element, right? The connection between God and man. Shalem, Shalom, peace, that's the Ben Adam Lachavero. So even within the name Yerushalayim, you have both elements of our Avodah as Jews, Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam Lachavero. There's a lot more to talk about Yerushalayim, but we will leave it for now. Maybe we'll come back later if there's more time. So, Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, hears about everything that occurs, and he gets even more upset, besides what Am Yisrael did, about what the Givonim did, that they went to make peace. So, what does he do? Pasuk Gimel, Vayishlach Adoni Tzedek, Melech Yerushalayim, he sends to the other kings, Hoham, Melech Hebron, Pir'am, Melech Yarmut, all these kings that get a one-time mention in Tanakh. And he says, Alu Eilai V'Ezruni, help me out. V'Nakez Givon, let's go defeat Givon. You know what they did? They're undermining the whole team that we have against Am Yisrael. So they gather and they say, let's go. So Pasuk Vav, the Anshei Givon come to Yehoshua and say, you gotta help us out. Al Teref Yodecha Me'avadecha, Alei Elena Mehera, V'Hoshia Lanu V'Azreinu, help us, Ki Nikmetzu Eleinu Kol Malchei Ha'emori Yoshvei Ha'har. There's a little diuk that the Malbim makes, the Gadlus of the Malbim, who reads Tanakh with a fine-tooth comb. Says the Malbim, if you look in the Pasuk, when the king of Yerushalayim says to the other kings, please help me to defeat, what is his Lashon? V'Izruni. Uses the Lashon of Ezer, help me. When the Givonim go to Yoshua, they use another Lashon. Not just Ezer, they say, Hoshia Lanu V'Azreinu. What's the difference between Ezra and Yeshua? They both mean to help, explains the Malbim. To Ezer is where I ask for your help, I'm going to do most of it. But Ezer, you know, help me out a little bit to get things going. Moshia means the Moshia, the Savior, does everything. Salvation. Ezra is help and Moshia is salvation. So the king of Yerushalayim says to the other ones, Ezer, I'm going to do the main part. That's how he convinced them to come. I'm going to do the main part. Ezer, just help me out. Help me out a little bit. That's all I'm asking for you. A little Ezra. But the Givonim know that they stand no chance against these kings. So they not only say to Yoshua, we don't want just Azer, they say, Hoshia Lanu. Hoshia Lanu, please do it for us. Right? Because we don't stand the chance. We say in Shemona Esrei, Hashem to us is both. Melech Ozer Umoshia Umagain. He not only helps us out a little bit for us to do it ourselves sometimes, but he does everything for us. Melech Ozer Umoshia Umagain. And the Mefarshim explain, unbelievably, it's an obvious point, but if you never thought about it, it's a light bulb in the brain. Who is the leader that took us into Eretz Yisrael the first time? And who is the leader that took us into Eretz Yisrael the second time? Yehoshua led us in first, and Ezra led us in second. The first time we went in, God was in control. It was miraculous. The walls of Jericho came down. We're going to learn in this parak today. Major rocks fell down from heaven onto these kings. HaKadosh Baruch was in charge. So to help us recognize that, Yehoshua, Moshiach, Hashem is doing everything. The second time we went in, it wasn't miraculous. We went in. We settled the land. We're going up from Bavel. Ezra is the leader. Why? Because Hashem helped us out, but we did it. We did it b'terech hatefa. And the Gra says, Ezra, and who is his helper? Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah is Gematria Yehoshua, says the Gra. That even though they're different, but they both come from the same root, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge, but one is a Yehoshua, and one is an Ezra. Amazing thought, but it's based on this Malbim, right here, the Malbim that says the difference between an Ozer and a Moshiach. Okay, so the Anshei Givon go to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua goes up with the nation, and he doesn't exactly know what to do. Hashem has to say to him, Al Tira Mehem, don't be scared. Why would Yehoshua be scared? After what happened to Ai, after what happened to Yericho. So, it's very possible, based on the events of the last parak. Yehoshua wasn't sure if he did the right thing, making peace with these people. They tricked him into making peace. They swore. They made a covenant. But who says Yeshua said, I don't know if I did the right thing. So that's why the Mefarshim explained they needed a little chizik. The chidah says, Shapirish Yeshua haya yarei shema ye'anshu al shekibu asa givonim mibli lishol espi Hashem. They didn't ask God. Right? We read that in the last parak. So he's not sure. Maybe he's going to be punished for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's all part of the divine plan. All part of the divine plan, and therefore don't worry about it. Lo yamod ish mehem ipanecha. Nobody's going to stand in front of you. So what happens? Vayav olam Yeshua pitom. Kol alayla Allah min agilgal. Pasuk Tet, Yeshua goes up. Element of surprise. He goes at night to attack them. And he causes a great confusion. Vayihumei mashem lifnei Yisrael. And he hits them in Givon. And they go towards Beit Horon until Azeka. Azeka is about a 5-minute drive from here. The Ad Makeda, Vayihi Benusam Ibnei Yisrael, Heim Bamor Beit Chorom Hashem Hishlich, and here it is. While they're running, it wasn't just Yehoshua. Vashem Hishlich Alehem Avanim Gedolos Min Hashemayim. These aren't like hail balls. These are stones. Stones coming down from heaven. Avanim Gedolos Min Hashemayim Ad Azeka Vayamusu. Rabim Asher Mesu Ba'avnei Abarad Me'asher Hargu B'nei Yisrael B'charev. More people were killed by the... It says hail balls, but they weren't regular hail balls. Like, we know hail balls. They were like stone hail balls. More people died through that than were killed by the sword. Where did these hail balls come from? So you might say, magic! Right now, Kadosh Baruch Hu made it. Chazal tell us no. Chazal tell us, this goes back a while in history. Goes back how many years? Right, this was the first year right after they went in. 40 years earlier. 41 years earlier. During the Makos. If you remember, the Rashi in Sefer Shmo says, in the Makkah of Barad, when Moshe Rabbeinu says the Makkah of hail should stop, it stopped at that second. Even the hail balls that were mid-air stopped. It didn't come down. What, so forevermore they're stuck? They're stuck in mid-air? So the Gemara says in Brachos, Rashi quotes it, Brachos, Nun Dalad Mabez, they started to come down in the times of Moshe, and they finished the jobs in the time of Yeshua. These were the hail balls that came down, says the Gemara. Avanim sha'amdu al gav ish, v'yardu al gav ish. Amdu al gav ish, said Moshe. Dechsevo ish Moshe anav ma'od, v'ksev ha'yechtulu ha'kalos v'abarad. It stopped, it didn't come down. Al gav ish, said Yeshua. Kachlas Yeshua ben nun ish ha'ruach bo, v'benusa v'vrei b'nei Yisrael, b'morin, Hashem hishlech aleim avanim gedolos. So these stones were a continuation, you might say. The Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makkos was the beginning of our ascent to Eretz Canaan. This is continuing the process. It's one long 41-year process, and this is finishing the finishing the job. Uz, at that moment, Pasuk Yud Beis, here's the famous Pasuk. Yidaber Yoshua Lashem, B'yom Teis Hashem Esomori Lefei B'nei Yisrael. Could be the most famous Pasuk in this entire Sefer. Besides, V'yigisaba Yom Avalayla, which we discussed back in Perak Aleph. You have to learn day and night. But this Pasuk, Yoshua says to Hashem, as the battle is raging, Vayomer Le'enei Yisrael, and he says in the eyes of everybody, because he wants everybody to see this miracle, Shemesh B'givon, they're fighting in the Givonim, Dome. Sun, you sun in Givon, silence yourself. Dome. V'yareach, and the moon, Be'emek Ayalon, the valley of Ayalon, which is about a 20-minute, 50-minute drive from here, right? Stop! He tells the sun and the moon, stop! Why does he use the Lashon of be silent? No, it doesn't say stop, he says be silent. So Rashi explains, because all of the Bria, all of creation, as it continues in its orbits and how it's supposed to be, that's a song to God. The entire world sings to Hashem as it continues to exist. So by telling the sun and the moon and the constellations, everything to stop, Yeshua is basically asking the sun, stop singing to God. Because your behavior, the sun rising is a song to Hashem. The moon waxing and waning is a song to Hashem. So Rashi says, Amar Shira Tachas Hashemes. And that's what he says, Uz. Uz reminds us of Uz Yashir. Yeshua says, I'll say Shira. You could stop right now. And that's even the Medrash. The Yalkut Shimoni says there was a machlokas here. The sun tells Yehoshua, Yeshua, I'm not stopping. I'm the sun. Yeshua says, no, you got to stop. You got to stop. I want to finish this war today before the sun goes down. We'll have to see why. But I want to finish this, so you have to stop. Yeshua says, the sun says no. Amalei Hashemesh. I'm reading from the Yalkut Shimoni. Ata omer li dom. You tell me to be silent. Yesh katan poseach piv omer l'gadol imenu dom. You're a human being. I'm the sun. I'm not stopping. Ani nevresi b'raviv. Ata nevresi b'shishi. I was created on day 4. You're created on day 6. I'm not stopping. I'm greater than you. Amr le Yehoshua. Yeshua said, no, you got the mashal wrong. You're bigger than me, but you're not more important than me. Ben chorin katan, sheyesh lo eved zakein, eino omer lo shtok. If you have a free, small person, and you have an elderly servant, the servant doesn't tell the person what to do. Meaning, you serve me. You're not the purpose of creation. The son says, what about my Shira? Yeshua says, I'll say Shira instead of you. That is the Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni. So Yoshua ben Nun wins the argument between himself and the son. And the Rambam, there's a beautiful Rambam, I've mentioned it in another Shiurim, that talks about this too. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodiyat Torah in Perek Gimel, an amazing Rambam, Kol ha-kochavim v'ha-galgalim kulam ba'alei nefesh v'deya v'haskelheim. All constellations, says the Rambam, the stars and the sun and the moon, they all have intellect. The Rambam says, "Vehem chayim vaomdim, they are alive. Umakirim esmi sha'amar v'haya ha'olam, and they know who God is. That's what the and they have as well." The Rambam says, "Self recognition. V'chol echad ve'echad l'fi God l'fi malato ukshesh makirim es hakadosh baruch hu kach makirim es atzman." The sun and the moon, says the Rambam, recognize God. Recognize themselves, and umakirim es hamalachim shalom alamehen, and they know, they recognize the level of angels above them. V'das hakochavim v'al galgalim me'uta midas hamalachim v'gedola midas b'nei adam. The sun and the moon and the stars, the intellect that they have is less than the angels, but above people. The Rambam says that they have intellect. Do they have bechira chavshis? That's a good question. Whether they have bechira, Hashem set them up. But it might be that they don't have Bechira, but they still have intellect. We can't fathom what the intellect of the sun means. But we could also ask the same question. Could a dog fathom what the intellect of a human being is? The dog can't fathom it because it's so much above the dog's intellect. So it's the same thing with us. We can't fathom the intellect of the sun and the moon because it's beyond us. We can't comprehend it. And the sun and the moon can't comprehend what it means to be a malach. Each one of them. But the Rambam says, that's what we say every Shabbos morning. Yitzaram, Hashem fashioned them, bidas bebinu v'haskel. Doesn't mean that Hashem, with his knowledge, Hashem fashioned them and gave them, the sun and the moon and the stars, gave them knowledge and intellect, v'chulu. So that's an important Rambam, but that relates to this. The son is talking to Yeshua ben Nun. What are you doing? I'm saying Shira to Hashem. Yeshua ben Nun says no. It is interesting, though, why is only the son arguing with Yeshua? Why not the moon? According to the Medrash. Why is it only the son? So two ideas mentioned here in the Mishpat Zav. Number one, the Gemara tells us that Moshe is compared to the sun and Yeshua is compared to the moon. Right? The Yeshua reflects the greatness of Moshe, the moon reflects the greatness of the sun. So that's why the moon wasn't arguing with Yeshua, because they were on equal terms. Right? It was just the sun, I'm greater than you. I'm like Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why the sun was getting upset, number one. Number two is Efshar Lomer, he says, that the sun stopping, and we're going to get to more of this in a minute, the sun stopping, that the sun is always does the same thing every day. What does the sun do? The sun is in an orbit, but everything revolves around the sun. That doesn't change anything. The moon waxes and wanes. And that's why the moon says the moon's always getting bigger, getting smaller, and the moon is always kuf of Am Yisrael anyway. When is it Rosh Chodesh? When we see the moon, Bnei Yisrael have control of the moon anyway. So that's why the moon isn't asking. But the sun is not unchanging. The sun is the same. Bnei Yisrael have no control of the sun is the seasons. We have no control of the seasons. We have control of the lunar months. We can decide when Rosh Chodesh is. That's why only the sun is the one that argued. Fascinating. Two suggestions by the Mishpat Zos Zahav. Also interesting, I'm not going to go into it now. If you look in the Meshech Chachma in Avdama Tishmos, he discusses why Dafka, Moshe and Yehoshua had control. Moshe did it by Amalek too. Had control of the sun and the moon, and other people in history did not. Besides maybe one other, the Gemara in Tainus tells us about Nakdimon ben Gurion. He also had control of the sun and the moon, right? Three people, the Gemara says, stopped the sun and the moon, Moshe, Yeshua, and Nakdimon ben Gurion. But Yeshua says this. Yeshua says, please stop, and it stops, right? Vayidom HaShemesh v'yareach amad ad yikom goy me'oivav. It stops. Halohi k'suva al Sefer HaYashar. And this is all written down in the Sefer HaYashar. What's the Sefer HaYashar? The Book of the Upright. So the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah daf chafhei or so, the Gemara says this is reference to the Torah. The Torah is called Sefer HaYashar. Why is it called Sefer HaYashar? Rashi says, this act is already merumaz batorah. It's already merumaz in a pasuk in Vayechi. But the Nitziv made this famous. The Nitziv in his Akdama to Bereishis says, why is the Torah called Sefer HaYashar? Because the Avos are called Sefer HaYashar. That's the Gemara. Why are the Avos called Sefer HaYashar? To be a Yashar, says the Nitziv, is to respect other people's way of serving God. That's what it means to be a Yashar. Or even other people, even if you argue on everything that they do. But that's what it means to be a Yashar. And that's what Avram Avinu argues for stone. Don't kill stone. He hates stone. He hates what stone does. But he defends them as people, and that's why he begs, and begs with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to be a Yashar, and that's what the Pasuk here says, that this act of Yeshua, that he stopped the sun and the moon, is alluded to already in the Sefer HaYashar. And it stopped, below Atzlavo Kiyom Tamim. And it stayed for a complete day. Kiyom Tamim. There is a machlokas, how long exactly the delay was, how long did he stop the sun and the moon. The Malbim said it had to be 24 hours. Exactly. Because if you stop the sun and the moon, it doesn't say all the other constellations stopped, all the other orbits of all the other stars. So if you start the moon, let's say 6 hours later, and the sun, what, you have to like press fast forward and do it quickly to get back to where it was supposed to be? No, it'll probably start, keep going in its orbit from whenever it starts again. So if you miss one full day, okay, fine. But if you miss like half a day or a day and a half, the Malbim said that would mess everything else up. So says the Malbim, it had to be a complete 24-hour period, and then it would start again. There is a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that says, describes, why did Yeshua want to stop the sun and the moon? So Chazal said, the Radak says, he didn't want to have to fight at night. It's harder to fight at night. A little difficult. The whole thing was miraculous anyway. There were big rocks coming down from heaven. So the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says that it was Erev Shabbos. He didn't want Am Yisrael to have to fight on Shabbos. Why? Pikuach Nefesh? So one could suggest that, well, they weren't defending themselves. They were fighting for the Givonim. So maybe that's why Yeshua ben Nun wasn't sure that that would be enough to be Mechal Shabbos for. So that's why he asked for this miracle. He asked for this miracle. And the Pasuk even says in Pasuk Yudalid, V'lo haya kayom ahu lefanav v'yacharav. There was never a day like this. Lishmo Hashem bekolish, that Hashem listened. What was so unique about this? Yeshua demanded the miracle. It wasn't that Hashem just did a miracle. They were miraculous days. But here, what does it say? Yeshua spoke to the sun and said, Shemesh begivon dom. He demanded it. He was the mitzvah. So that's amazing that that is what occurred, and that's why the Pasuk emphasizes this, that this is something that never happened in a history. There is an amazing Yerushalmi that has another idea. I'm not going to go into the whole thing now, but the Kamotzi Shalal Rav here discusses, Kamotzi Shalal Rav on Sefer Yoshua, if you want to look it up on page Shin Chaf Aleph, discusses the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that in the days of old, and we even have some of this in Yadus also, that in the days of old, they believed that people on their birthdays had special power. And they couldn't be nizok on their birthdays. So they always had at the front of the battlefield the people whose birthday it was that day. So Yoshua Dafka knew that, and that's why he messed up the days, and he wanted it. They had the people ready for the next day, that's why he fought the night before, Pitom. He didn't want it to be the next day yet, because then they would have special Ashkacha. So that's why he Dafka elongated the day, so they wouldn't have that schus for them. There's only one birthday mentioned in Tanakh. This has come up before, and that's Paro. In the end of Sefer Bereishis, Paro has a birthday. Yom HaLed says Paro. So, but there's a big discussion about what the significance of birthdays. Haman, if you remember, it came, the Gora came out in the month of Adar. He was so excited. Moshe Rabbeinu died this month. He didn't know Moshe Rabbeinu was born this month. Okay, so anyway, let's just finish it up. Pasuk Chav Dalet, when all the Malachim see what happens, Yeshua calls them, and they run from him, and towards the end, as I mentioned before, he has the Jews stand on the neck of these people. Why Dafka? What's the symbolism? So again, the Mishmas Ozov quotes some Achronim that say, the problem with these people were that they didn't think of the Rosh. They didn't think of the leader of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he stood on the neck as if to say, you're separating the body from the head. You're physical, you're not focusing on who's the leader of the world, the head of the world. And that's what he was giving them that message, by focusing and standing on their neck as if to be mafsik, between the head and the rest of the body. But Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them, and Yeshua even says, Chizku v'imsu, Pasach Hafei, which is the lashon that Hashem told him four or five times in the first parak, and they are able to defeat all of these kings in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. Beth Hashem, coming up in the next couple of parakim, will be the rest of the conquest of Eretz Canaan. Okay, we'll stop here.